We ready?
Oh, yeah.
Time to get this party started.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Please welcome.
You are now on the clock with Matt Geiger on Ignotainment Media Network.
Hello, and we're back. You're now on the clock with the On The Clock podcast. My name is Matt Geiger, joined again for episode 2 by my co-host, Iron Mike. I almost said your real name.
Close call.
Yeah, I mean, we've known each other for, what, 27 years?
If that's how old you are, then yes.
Yeah, kind of sad, man. We're joined by our live studio audience once again, which you can see if you go on our Facebook page. We plugged all that stuff in the last episode, which was part one of our draft recap.
Well, what if somebody's listening to this one first? You have to introduce what we're doing here.
Right. So what we're going to do is we're going to recap all the AFC notable drafts. We're going to go over some key players, stuff like that. Once again, I'm going to shamelessly plug my blog, themgfootball.blogspot.com. You can go there and follow along with us and see a little bit more in depth on some of the player analysis that I had and all those things. You can also follow the podcast page on Facebook if you search You're on the Clock. You can also find us on Twitter at You're on the Clock. You can follow Iron Mike on Twitter at Iron_Mike_NJ. And you can follow me on Twitter at @Matt_Geiger. Funny story about that real quick before we get into it. Dick Vitale was in Orlando and ran into the ex-NBA center, Matt Geiger, wound up taking a bunch of pictures and tagged me in them instead, which inevitably led to about 30 NBA players, past and present, following me on Twitter. They don't anymore. So, enough of my useless stories.
Don't mention his name in my presence anymore.
Someone doesn't like diaper dandies.
No.
So, before we jump into the draft, we have some injury notes, some player cuts. We'll start with the cuts. Fred Jackson, the veteran running back, has been cut by the Buffalo Bills and will stay there because the Bills have also announced that Tyrod Taylor will be the starter. How do you feel about that, Mike?
Well, it's better than EJ Manuel, who's just a big guy, really too mobile.
But he's a shithead of a quarterback. Also, Evan Mathis is signed with the Denver Broncos. That's big for them. It gives Peyton Manning a little bit more in front of him. He's one of the better linemen in the league. I guess he just didn't fit well in Philadelphia. Also, real quick, we're not going to touch on much of it because we have already in the first episode.
Because the judge didn't either. It lasted all 4 minutes.
But the Tom Brady hearing has not been settled on. There was no agreement on both sides. So we are recording. It's now 3:20 in the morning. The ruling should be out Tuesday or Wednesday, and you're probably going to be listening to this, and there could be a ruling by then. So we touched on it, but I do believe that Brady will be playing the season opener. We're going to hit some injuries real quick. Out in Tennessee, David Cobb, the rookie running back, has a calf injury. He's day-to-day. Who's the next one up, Mike?
Garrett Hartley from Pittsburgh.
Yes, so they had Shane Sweesome go out with an ACL tear. They bring in Garrett Hartley. Garrett Hartley now has a calf injury, or a hamstring injury, I'm sorry. He's day-to-day. Pittsburgh goes out and trades a late-round draft pick to Jacksonville for Josh Scobie. So in the last 2 weeks, they've had 3 kickers on their roster. Not that that's much to really...
I think it actually works out for them because Scobie's 81% on his field goals made in his career is 1 point higher than Hartley.
Important thing to note, that 1% could be a big difference for Pittsburgh.
It sure could, especially with the extra points being... push back a little bit this year.
Right. We'll stay with the Steelers.
Sarcasm's appreciated around here.
Yes, it is. We'll stay in Pittsburgh. No laughing matter. Martavis Bryant suspended 4 games for violating the league's substance abuse policy. He's probably going to appeal it. Generally, this late in the preseason, if a player's suspension's being handed down and they're going to appeal it, they try to handle it as fast as they can because they want the players to serve the suspension in the beginning of the year instead of, you know, playing a game and then serving the suspension. One guy to keep your eye on, especially from a fantasy aspect, would be Marcus Wheaton. Now we're going to stay in the AFC, obviously, because I'm an idiot. This is the AFC podcast. Out in Oakland, Melnick Watson tore his Achilles. He's going to be out for the year. Keep an eye out on that. That's going to affect their running game. It's going to affect their passing game. And then we move to the Jets, where rookie phenom defensive lineman Leonard Williams has a knee injury. He's listed as day-to-day. That's going to be big because there are some player suspensions there. Mainly Sheldon Richardson was suspended. So they might be down a few linemen to open up the season. Staying in the AFC East, fullback James Devlin of the New England Patriots has a leg injury. They're saying he could be out a few games, maybe a month or longer. I don't know how important that is in New England. It could be. He has caught a decent amount of touchdown passes. They use their fullback. He's a good blocker. So keep your eyes peeled for Devlin. See if he's going to make an appearance. Miami offensive lineman Marcus Pouncey?
Mike Pouncey.
Has a knee injury. And they are saying that he could miss a substantial amount of time. His status is uncertain. It was a knee injury. And they also had offensive tackle Brandon Albert sidelined with a knee injury. That's going to be important for Lamar Miller, as well as obviously Ryan Tannehill. But Lamar Miller should be inheriting a lot of those carries, so you're going to be iffy to see how the line shakes out in the beginning of the year. Note from Indy, 2 running backs have injury concerns. Vic Ballard has a hamstring injury, and rookie Josh Robinson has a concussion. He's going to go through the concussion protocol. These are guys that are going to be backing up Frank Gore. And I guess
that's important because Frank Gore is getting up there.
He's got some tread on his tires, and they might not have too many guys behind Frank Gore. And finally, another running back with a concussion, Duke Johnson out of Cleveland. They fully expect Duke Johnson to be a big part of this offense. And especially since no clear-cut running back has come out and established himself this offseason, they're not high on Terrence West. And Isaiah Crowell has done okay, but he hasn't done anything to really solidify his spot.
He's probably going to be a starter by default come week one.
I totally agree, unless the Browns go out and sign a guy like Fred Jackson, who was just released, or possibly Ray Rice.
Or they could bring back Trent Richardson.
Yes, because Trent Richardson was just cut by the Oakland Raiders. He is now cut by...
No, he was traded.
He was traded twice, and now he was cut. Also, I do want to note that I know this is the AFC podcast, but for the first time in the NFL history, I believe, and I keep saying I believe, and I'm not going to say anymore, tight end Tim Wright from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers has been traded to the Detroit Lions for kicker Kyle Brinza. Why is this important? Because Tim Wright is the first player in NFL history to be traded twice by the same team. Little known fact. And you know that you might not be the best player in the world if you get traded for a kicker. So with that said, we're going to jump right into the 2015 AFC draft recap, and we're starting in San Diego. Iron Mike, take it away for me.
Up in the first round, they took Melvin Gordon, 15th overall. He's supposed to take an immediate role in San Diego and be a big contributor.
The Chargers traded up a few spots to grab this guy. They love him. My only concern is the amount of work he's going to get, especially with Danny Woodhead back in the mix. He's probably not going to be a third down guy. Obviously, with Woodhead there, who's a receiving monster. I'm not saying he's going to cut entirely into his role, but I wouldn't expect to see Melvin Gordon make a huge difference in the passing game. And the one thing I do want to ask you, Iron Mike, is how do you feel about Melvin Gordon knowing the success or lack thereof of Wisconsin running backs in the pros?
It's not going to really matter. They're not known for passing or receiving backs. They're more known for their running style. But you have to remember that there's a new coaching staff there. It's not what Woodhead had a few years back. It's not what Ryan Matthews had a few years back. Mike McCoy is going into his second year in San Diego now. So, you know, you can't compare, you know, what Melvin Gordon's projections are going to be like this year to what backs have done in the past few years in San Diego.
Right, and you do have to note that San Diego has a pretty good offensive line, but Gordon struggled a little bit during the preseason. I know it's the preseason, but there could be some concern. I know they don't really have much behind them as far as true running backs go, but we're going to move on from that. One of my favorite picks in the AFC was the second-round pick by San Diego, Denzel Perryman, the inside linebacker from Miami. When you draw up comparisons from other Miami linebackers like Jonathan Vilma and John Beeson, he's got to be a good player. He's a little undersized. He's 5'11", 236, but he's a ball hawk of a football player. He's got the instincts. He might not be on the field in pass coverage, but I think pairing him up with some of the linebackers that they have there, guys like Manti Te'o, could be good for them.
You got to start somewhere and build,
Right, you have to build the bottom up. Right, and with this whole new coaching staff, who knows if Te'o's in the long-term plans for them. Those are the only notable picks that I have in San Diego, so we're going to move to the next team in the division, which is the Oakland Raiders. And if you know me and Iron Mike on a personal level, you know that we have man boners for Amari Cooper.
Speak right for yourself. I like the guy. I'm not getting too excited over him,
though. All right. Well, yeah, he does play in Oakland.
He does, which
Derek Carr's a good quarterback.
He is.
Watch some preseason film on this kid. He's being compared more or less to guys like Julio Jones, size-wise, capability-wise.
He's definitely the most talented receiver in this draft, probably the most talented in last year's and next year's as well. Right. I think he's better. I think he's going to end up better than Odell Beckham.
Odell Beckham is a phenom freak athlete, but I think people are going to be surprised at what Amari Cooper does. And if you go back and watch preseason week 3, the move that he put on Patrick Peterson, who is quote unquote one of the best corners in the league, was unbelievable. He made him look stupid. Now we'll talk about their second round pick, defensive lineman Mario Edwards Jr. out of Florida State. He's listed as a defensive tackle. They asked him to lose some weight. They want him to be a little bit more versatile, and he's done it, and he's playing well in the preseason. You should hear this kid's name a lot. I'm very excited to see him play, especially on a defensive line that has Justin Tuck and Khalil Mack.
Yeah, they're going to be rushing Khalil Mack a lot more off the edge this year.
Right. Also, staying in Oakland, with the third round pick, they take Clive Wofford, the second Miami player I think that was taken at that point. I'm wrong with that. Anyway, he's coming out of Miami. He's a tight end. He's fast. He ran the best 40 at the combine for tight ends. He's going to be on the field, I think, mainly in passing situations, but he's going to give Michael Rivera a run for his money as far as playing time goes.
Yeah, they have a tight end, Sean Lee, already there. Not Sean Lee, similar name, but they use him as their primary running run blocking tight end, and Michael Rivera as the catching type. But Clive Wofford would definitely take over that job. He's more talented than
the player you were referring to earlier was Lee Smith, formerly the Buffalo Bills.
There you go.
So Let's keep it moving, Mike. We talked about Amari Cooper. We talked about Mario Edwards. So there's not too much else to talk about. We're going to move to the next team in the division. And that's going to be the Kansas City Chiefs. And the Chiefs go out and they take Marcus Peters in the first round. Could have been the first corner taken. He's a top 10 talent coming into the draft, but he had some off-the-field issues. He was dismissed from Washington. I think he fought a coach, which is never a good thing, but obviously he convinced a lot of front offices that he's not an off-the-field issue anymore. Winds up in Kansas City, that an aging secondary. He's going to get some playing time, and I just want to check their depth chart because I don't really think they have too many guys in that secondary.
Well, I know they have they have one cornerback who I believe might have made the Pro Bowl last year in Kansas City. No, they have a good defensive back there. Flowers, I believe.
He's gone.
Where is he?
I have no idea. He's not in Kansas City anymore.
Wow.
You want to look that up while I go a little bit further into this?
I could have sworn.
So, Marcus Peters, I full-heartedly believe is going to be their number one because Flowers isn't there anymore. And then you look at their second-round pick, Mitch Morrison, offensive guard from Missouri. He's a smart guy. He's a tough guy. That was Brandon Flowers, who you were not thinking of.
Same division.
Yeah. And then in the third round, they take Chris Conley, the wide receiver out of Georgia. He's not a fast guy. He's not a huge guy. He's fundamentally safe, and they're going through a revamp of their wide receiver core. I think the only player they kept was Albert Wilson, who picked up late last year. They pair him with Jeremy Maclin and the aforementioned Chris Conley. And then you add a guy like DeAnthony Thomas who could play that almost Tavon Austin type of role, probably better than Tavon Austin.
You need him to be better than Tavon Austin.
Absolutely. I always find a way to bring it back to the Rams. But they went through this whole revamping of their wide receiver core. Dwayne Bowe's not there anymore, so they want to add some bulk and some depth to the position. They also had Junior Hemingway from coming back from last year. It doesn't look good on paper, but I think it could be better than expected. They don't have that deep, deep route guy, so it's going to be interesting to see how they handle that, especially since Alex Smith doesn't like to throw the ball more than 5 yards in the air. And then, you know, we'll see where we go from there. And
we're going to Denver.
We're going to drive up to Denver where it's legal to smoke weed. What is not legal is for Shane Ray to smoke weed because he wasn't in Denver when he did it. I'm very iffy on these rules in, you know, what happens if a player fails a drug test in between college and the pros. But Shane Ray is a special player. He's got the typical size for an outside linebacker or a pass rusher. He's quick. He's got good hands. He's going to be arguably one of the better pass rushers to come out of this class. And you're pairing him up with a guy like Von Miller, a guy like DeMarcus Ware. You're putting him on a pretty good defense. And I think he could cause some matchup mismatches, if not for himself, for the edge rushing outside linebackers that they have. He's going to make for something special there. They also bring in Ty Sambrello, the offensive tackle from Colorado State, who's probably going to get some reps. They also take Max Garcia, who I believe is taking reps with the first team at center. And it's interesting to see how they're shaking up that offensive line. Evan Mathis comes in. They lose their starting left tackle, Ryan Clady, for the year. So they brought in another player as well. I'm going to try to pull that up right now. Their starting left tackle right now is going to be Ty Sambrello. Max Garcia is taking reps at left guard behind Evan Mathis. They have Matt Paradis at center. And they also brought in Ryan Harris, who formerly played with the Chiefs. So there's a big shakeup. They need some chemistry going. It's going to be interesting to see if they could keep Peyton Manning protected in the pocket, especially after that quad injury he had last year. that really held him back from throwing the ball.
And yeah, he was hurting a lot towards the end of the last season. So hopefully they get it together out west and give him some time to make some plays.
Right.
You know, they can't fully rely on the running game like they want to this year because of the poor linemen that they have.
Right, and it's also going to be important to see how the line handles the run game, especially since C.J. Anderson's coming off an amazing year, and they do have the guys back there to really run the ball if they need to. You know,
they're deep at linebacker. I mean,
at running back, with C.J. Anderson, Monty Ball, and Ronnie Hillman. And I will note that they spent 5 picks on defense, but they also spent, I think, 5 picks on offense. Very well-rounded draft in Denver, but they have a really good roster, so a lot of the guys that they have are going to be backups and developmental-type players. And with that said, we now move to the team who selected 2nd overall, the Tennessee Titans, with the obvious talk of Marcus Mariota in the 2 spot. This is a pretty controversial pick for them. There was a lot of rumors about them trading the pick away, trading back in the draft, trying to stockpile some picks, whether or not Zach Mettenberger was the real deal, if he was going to be the starter for them. They end up going with Mariota. He's looked pretty good in the preseason. There's some question about whether or not he can adapt to the pro style offense, but we're seeing so far so good. In the 2nd round, they take the big guy, Dorial Green-Beckham, from formerly Missouri. He was released by the team. He went to Oklahoma and sat out the full year, so he hasn't been on a football field in a full year. It's important for him to get these preseason reps. He's a huge dude. He's 6'5", 237 pounds. He's drawn a lot of comparisons to Randy Moss. And I know Iron Mike has a problem with that.
Not so much a problem, but it stands out because not many players have been compared to Randy Moss. Randy Moss is, in my opinion, the best receiver of all time. And
I will argue with that. That's another conversation for another day. Rounding up the draft in Tennessee, in the 5th round, the Titans selected David Cobb to compete with the god-awful, one of the most hated players on the Clock podcast, Bishop Sankey.
I agree.
Bishop Sankey.
I don't like him.
Most notably, if you know who Bishop Sankey is, you probably drafted him in your fantasy football team, and you probably want to punch him in his throat. I think Cobb has all the skills to easily surpass Bishop Sankey, and Bishop Sankey's not doing anything to help himself keep the spot. So keep an eye on David Cobb. If not,
Cobb fits more in with Wisenhunt's style of play than Bishop Sankey does anyway. So look for Cobb, you know, somewhere around week 4 or 5 to break out.
Right. If not, just from the fan perspective, from the fantasy football perspective as well. We don't talk too much about fantasy football, but if you guys want us to, let us know. We're here to entertain you guys. We might not have the numbers and stats to talk too much about fantasy, but we could give you our personal opinion on that if that's something you want to hear. You could tweet us that. You can put a comment on the Facebook wall if you guys want to talk about it.
And we'll tweet it back at you.
Yeah, let's throw some stuff around. Let's make some conversation. So that's about it in Tennessee, and now we're going to jump to the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are looking a little impressive in the preseason.
Yeah, but it's the preseason.
The running game is not that impressive. They spend their 2nd round pick on TJ Yeldon. I don't think it's his fault. I think it's more the offensive line's fault that they really haven't picked up, and gave Yeldon the stats that you'd be looking for. But Yeldon was one of the guys that I had in one of my articles about breakout running backs that you know could make an impact right away. I said he was a very underrated player, and I just think he has the combination of speed and size. He might not be a guy that's going to shake you, but he could run you over. He has the speed to run around you. He's not a flashy type of guy, but he's going to get the job done. Jacksonville is averaging 4.5 yards per carry.
No, that was last year.
They averaged 4.5. I think a lot of that had to do with Denard Robinson.
Yeah, I think so too.
And he's still there, so I don't see Yeldon officially taking the full role. I think Denard Robinson brings something unique to the table.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to replace him because he's such a versatile guy.
Right. Now, one of the players we talked about on the first episode of the podcast was Dante Fowler Jr., the third overall pick by the Jaguars. He tore his ACL in the first practice of minicamp, and Jacksonville actually met him in the hospital and gave him a fully guaranteed contract. Mike's giving me the violin, so we're not going to talk too much about him. They select A.J. Cann out of South Carolina, offensive lineman in the third round. He's probably going to be a starter right away. And then the last player I'll talk about is Rashad Greene, Jameis Winston's favorite target coming out of Florida State. He's got a lot to do to crack this lineup because you got guys like Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns in front of him, but he's looked good in the preseason. He could be a special player. I just want to take a look at his notes real quick. He's 5'11", 182, but he's got some speed, and he has really good hands, so keep an eye out on him.
There's going to be a lot of mouths to feed through the air in Jacksonville. Right now Julius Thomas is hurt. He's probably going to miss 3 or 4 weeks of the regular season.
Right,
and
they're saying
Clay Harbor.
They're saying that the hand injury was a little bit worse than what they expected for Julius Thomas. So there's going to be some targets floating around. I have to apologize. I have some heartburn. So if you guys hear me hiccuping or burping or anything like that, then it's because I ate fried food from Quick Check before I recorded the podcast. And now that you guys know too much about that, we're going to go to Indianapolis, where surprisingly, Indy could have addressed a few positions. They need some help in their secondary. Their O-line isn't, you know, anything to write home about. They could use a little bit more depth at running back to bring in a little bit more talent behind Frank Gore.
Maybe some youth.
Right. Instead, they go out and they draft Philip Dorsett, another Miami guy. He's a burner. He's got the speed. His hands need some work. But more importantly, they draft a receiver when they have a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball, especially in the skill position. You know, guys, especially when they bring in a guy like Andre Johnson, they pair him up with T.Y. Hilton. They have Daron Carter, who came in from the CFL, and Moncrief.
Yes, Dante Moncrief.
Dante Moncrief, who came on pretty late last year, but he had a pretty good year.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you also talk about the tight ends. They have
Dwayne Allen
and Colby Fleener. Wow, I just stroked out. But bringing in a guy like Dorsett, I don't know. Maybe you don't spend a first-round pick on a guy who's just going to help in the return game, right? They see something in him. They want him to be a playmaker. I guess we'll see how that works out. He might not see too much right off the bat in the beginning of the year. Other than Dorsett, there's really not too much to talk about. They brought in Josh Robinson, who he said has a concussion. He's going through the protocol. Robinson, I think, picks up a little bit later in the year once he learns the playbook and the pass blocking schemes and stuff like that. I could see him taking over the backup role behind Frank Gore. And that's pretty much all we got for Indy, so we're going to keep it rolling. We got a good pace going here. And we're going to go to the team of hard knocks, the Houston Texans, who once again had one of my favorite drafts. I don't give out draft grades, but if I was, they'd get one of the higher ones. In the first round, they select Wake Forest cornerback Kevin Johnson, 16th pick overall. He's a gifted guy. He can play press coverage. I think they like playing a lot of man out in Houston. And it was more of a need than anything. They brought Kareem Jackson back on a 1-year deal. I don't see them bringing him back for longer than that. So having a guy like Kevin Johnson, who's having a pretty successful preseason, I think he's lining up at nickel. he could be the number two by the end of the year.
Yeah, well, they need to get young in their secondary because Jonathan Joseph is nearing the end of his career. He's been in the league close to 10 years now. So, you know, spending the high pick on Kevin Johnson is something that they needed to do.
Right, and Kevin Johnson is actually playing the corner slot because the aforementioned Jonathan Joseph and Kareem Jackson, like we said, are still there. And Iron Mike's right. They're pretty old in the secondary. If you watch the last episode of Hard Knocks, Quentin Demps was brought back in and re-signed because they wanted some depth to their secondary. He's a little older as well. They go in the second round. They take Benardrick McKinney, who we mentioned on the NFC portion of the podcast when I went off on the New Orleans Saints. He's going to be a special player. Brian Cushing's the starting middle linebacker in Houston right now. But you're going to see eventually Benardrick McKinney start getting more and more playing time. He's a little banged up. He's having a little bit of trouble learning the playbook from what I understand. I don't see it being an issue. He's going to make an impact probably right away. And, I mean, when you're talking about him replacing Mike Muhammad, have you ever heard of Mike Muhammad?
No.
Exactly. No. So Benardrick McKinney is going to be lining up inside with Brian Cushing.
Brian Cushing's going to need the help because of the most you're not going to see a lot of Clowney again this year. It's a circus with that guy.
Clowney's on the field practicing. They say he's going to be ready for week one.
It's almost like he doesn't want to be on the field.
If you ever see him, he just kind of looks like he's moping around a little bit. I don't know. Clowney's going to be their outside guy. You know, he's going to be one of those forces if he could stay healthy. And that's an issue with Brian Cushing as well. So if that happens to be, you know, a forefront issue where Cushing's going to miss an extended period of time, McKinney's a name that you're going to want to remember. And one of my favorite picks comes in the third round from Houston, where they select Jalen Strong, the Arizona State wide receiver. He's a big guy, 6'2", 217. He's got some feet. He's got some speed. He's had some issues with his hands in the offseason and in the preseason. But the value of where they got him makes this a great pick. They lost Andre Johnson. DeAndre Hopkins has taken over the one spot. So Houston's looking for guys that are going to catch the ball. They brought in Cecil Shorts. Who knows what that's going to turn into. But Jalen Strong is going to be one of those guys that you're going to have to keep an eye out on to see if he's progressing the right way and if he could step in and fill a role for the Texans. Some of the other receivers that they have on their team, Nate Washington, Damaris Johnson, Keyshawn Martin, all these guys have had opportunities. Cecil Shorts with another team, Nate Washington with another team.
The problem with Cecil Shorts is he just can't stay on the field. So, again, guys who have failed before in Houston are going to most likely get another opportunity to catch some balls because of Shorts' problem to stay on the field. Now we'll go out to the AFC North, and we'll start with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Pittsburgh had one of my favorite picks in this draft, and I have to say, I was probably wrong about this guy when I was doing my draft write-ups, and that's going to be their first-round pick, who is Bud Dupree, the outside linebacker from Kentucky. Mike's making mopey faces at me because I don't like admitting I'm wrong. But after watching this kid play in the preseason, I think he's going to be big for them. He's lining up as an outside linebacker opposite of James Harrison, who's arguably one of the best pass rushers of our time, you know, like the last decade.
Yep.
And Pittsburgh's defense hasn't been the Pittsburgh defense of late. They don't have the defense that they had when they were making these deep playoff runs and winning championships. So you're going to see a new look, and I think they want to build this defense around Bud Dupree. He's a big dude. He's fast. He's got a high motor. I didn't know if he would necessarily compare to some of the other pass rushers coming out of this class. But like I said, I've watched him play in the preseason, and he's really impressed me. And they stayed on the defensive side in the second round, taking Senquez Golson out of Mississippi. They're not too sure who's playing corner there. Mike, can you pull up the depth chart, or do I have to do that?
I can pull it up for you.
So they take Senquez Golston out of Mississippi in the second round, and then they take Deron Grant, cornerback from Ohio State, in the fourth round. They're trying to figure out what's going on in Pittsburgh. Their secondary is a mess. Their whole defense is arguably a mess. So these two guys have a chance to step in and really make an impact. It's just a matter of which one's actually going to make the impact. They have Cortez Allen and William Gay slated as the starters right now, and Pittsburgh actually traded for Brandon Boykin. So it's going to be interesting to see how these guys actually fit in. I see Deron Grant as a special teams player on the depth chart. I don't even see Senquez Golson on this list. So that's something you want to take a look at, right? You don't see him at all, do you?
No, I don't see him.
All right, the only other name that we'll really talk about here is Gerard Holloman. I was one of the people that unfortunately had him ranked as a first-round prospect early in the season. His numbers were padded. He had a crazy year in Louisville. And I guess he's not really translating too much into the pros, but Pittsburgh takes a seventh-round flyer on him. If he winds up being something good, possibly a potential replacement for Troy Polamalu. Nobody's going to fill those shoes. So why not take a late-round flyer and see if this guy turns into anything? While we're staying in the division, we're going to move up to Cincinnati with the Bengals. This is one of the funnier things to come out of this draft. You usually don't hear too many funny things, and that is that going into the offseason, left tackle Andrew Whitworth goes to the front office and tells the Cincinnati Bengals, I dare you to draft an offensive tackle in the draft. So what happens, Iron Mike? What does Cincinnati go out and do?
Cincinnati went out and took two tackles with their first two picks.
Right, and those two guys are Cedric Abuahe, the offensive tackle out of Texas A&M. He's banged up. He had a knee injury towards the end of last year. He tore his ACL. He missed a lot of time at A&M. He's still recovering from that, so he's not going to be on the field right away. But I think Jake Fisher is going to be one of the players that you're really going to see make an impact for this line. I don't know if he's starting right now, but he's versatile. He could play tackle. He could play guard. He's a very interesting guy to keep your eye out on. And I guess this was a sign to Andrew Whitworth saying, you don't run our team. Yeah. Don't tell us what to do.
You don't tell me what to do.
They also select Tyler Croft, the tight end from Rutgers, with the third-round pick, and Paul Dawson, the inside linebacker from TCU, with their fourth-round pick. Dawson is 6 foot 235, maybe a little smaller than they like for an inside linebacker, but they haven't really had that inside linebacker type of guy after Vontaze Burfict made the switch to outside linebacker. And as I'm looking at it right now, Cedric Abuahe is listed as a third-team player, and Jake Fisher is listed as a backup to Andrew Whitworth. And getting back to Paul Dawson, size-wise, like we said, he's a little undersized. He's a smart player. He's going to make plays for the team. And like I said, if you're looking at their depth chart, they really don't have any linebackers that stick out to you aside from Vontaze Burfict, who I believe is still recovering from an injury as well.
Yeah, he got hurt last year.
He's playing weak side linebacker, and Ray Malaluga is playing middle linebacker. I don't think Malaluga's got it anymore. So really, the middle linebacker job is Paul Dawson's for the taking.
Yeah, Malaluga's close to walking out the back door.
Right. Nothing really to report on after their fourth-round pick. Josh Shaw from USC, this is a funny story, was the player that lied about jumping off of a deck to save a drowning baby in a pool in his backyard. He gets selected in the fifth round. I don't know if he's going to be good or not.
That was funny.
Yeah, he lied about saving a drowning baby so he wouldn't get in trouble by USC. Ha ha.
Ha.
Thanks, Mike. Iron Mike knows how to make me look like an asshole, so we're going to move on.
Cleveland Browns.
Nothing funny about Cleveland.
No, there's nothing funny about their first round draft pick either.
This guy looks like he should have tattoos all over his face. He is a mammoth dude, and we are talking about Danny Shelton from Washington. He is a nose tackle who is coming in at 6'2", 339 pounds. Okay? Mammoth player. They needed to add some meat to their offensive and defensive lines, and they did that with their first two picks. They had two first-rounders, 12th overall with Danny Shelton, and 19th overall, they select Cam Irving out of Florida State. Irving is arguably one of the smartest players, lineman-wise, to come in out of this draft. Cleveland has Alex Mack at center, which is where Irving played at Florida State, but he can play guard, he can play tackle, and I think he's playing right guard to start the season out. They also go out in the third round and select, or second round, I'm sorry, and select Nate Orchard out of Utah. Once again, one of these underrated defensive ends, pass rushers that I've been talking about. They don't have too many guys out there that are sizing out to be what they wanted them to, whether it be Paul Kruger or, you know, any of these other guys that they spent the money on in the free agency last year, like Danelle Ellerbe.
Yeah, they've had a few guys in and out of there the last few years. Ellerbe, DeQuell Jackson, none of them really panned out to the pass rushers they've wanted them to be.
Right, so right now they have Scott Solomon as one of their outside linebackers. They drafted Barcavius Mingo a year or two ago. He hasn't panned out to be much. So bringing in a guy like Orchard could be a great move for them. And then they followed their second round pick of Orchard up by taking Duke Johnson in the third round. Duke's a guy that we've talked about. We really like him. I think Cleveland likes him a lot too. I fully expect him to inherit a full-time role maybe 3-4 games into the year if this concussion doesn't pan out to be anything huge. They also take Washington State defensive tackle Xavier Cooper in the third round. Another big guy. He's probably going to be more of a developmental type player. And then one of the names you're going to want to keep an eye out on, could be a threat later in the year, is Vince Male from Washington State. He's a receiver. He's made a name for himself in minicamp and in the offseason programs. Keep an eye out on him. There's not too many good receivers in Cleveland, especially if you consider that Terrell Pryor is playing receiver.
They brought in Dwayne Bowe from Kansas City, but he didn't do much last year.
They have the White Wonder, Brian Hartline, Travis Benjamin, Taylor Gabriel, and Andrew Hawkins. These are all journeymen.
Yeah, they brought in a few guys to try and make something out of what was pretty much nothing after Josh Gordon.
Right, but getting back to Vince Male, he's listed as their fifth receiver. He could be something good. I think he could be a good player for them, and he seems to have gained a liking in the Browns locker room. So now we're going to move to the fourth team in the division.
We're moving to the...
Who's the fourth team in that division?
I don't know. It slips my mind.
All right, let's go to the next team.
Let's just go to the AFC East and go to the New York Jets.
The New York Football Jets. And we're going to talk about Leonard Williams, arguably the steal of the draft, because he could have went anywhere in the first three picks and been a great pick for either any of the teams.
Yeah. You know, there was
just to put things into perspective, line Leonard Williams up with Gerald McCoy, right? 1-2 punch, amazing in the front. Line him up with Jarrell Casey, one of the more underrated defensive linemen in the league, in my opinion. Line him up in Jacksonville with Terrence Knighton, I think? Or Sen'Derek Marks.
Yeah, Sen'Derek Marks is there. Knighton's gone.
Once again, could have been amazing. He ends up slipping all the way down to the fifth pick, or sixth pick, and winds up with the New York Jets and solidifies what could be considered the best defensive line in football.
If they can get to the quarterback, they've had some issues with
if
that.
If they can, and if they can keep their guys on the field, because some guys are banged up. Williams is banged up himself, and like we said earlier, Richardson is serving a suspension. So they're going to start the season off a little thin on the line with Damon Harrison and Muhammad Wilkerson being two out of the four healthy, or two of the four that are going to be eligible to play. They take wide receiver Devin Smith in the second round. He's a burner from Ohio State. He's nursing a rib injury, and I think he punctured his lung. Boom. Iron Mike's giving me the thumbs up.
It was a gun, not a thumbs up.
We don't condone gun violence.
I'm just saying, you got it.
All lives matter. Okay. The thing with Devin Smith is he hasn't really had too much on-field time, so he might not really make a shakeup in the offense for a few weeks. Once again, talking about these pass rushers, the late round pass rushers, Lorenzo Malden, the outside linebacker from Louisville, really making a name for himself. He's going to compete for a starting spot. They haven't really had any production from any of their outside linebackers in recent years. And looking at some of the names on their line on the roster, Jason Babin, Quinton Coples, Calvin Pace, these guys haven't really done anything. They have, especially in New York. So why not give a chance to a guy like Lorenzo Malden and see if he turns it into anything?
Well, you know, when you talk about guys like Babin and Calvin Pace, you also have to factor in their age. They're old. They're getting up there. You need fast young guys coming off of these edges. And Calvin Pace, he just doesn't have it anymore.
And one of the other things you're going to notice is because they brought back this strengthened secondary, if the defensive line still isn't producing sacks or the linebackers still aren't producing sacks, if you have a secondary that good, you're getting coverage sacks. So someone's going to have to do it. And if nobody's doing it, then why not, like I said, give Malden a shot?
You're going to have to because, yes, you can get coverage sacks, but it's not going to happen all day. Those guys are going to get tired. You need to get to the quarterback, force bad throws so that the secondary can take care of it.
Right. And the last pick we'll talk about in New York is their fourth-round pick, 103 overall. One of my higher-rated quarterbacks in the draft, and I keep talking about my blog, but go check it out, Bryce Petty out of Baylor. He's had a really good offseason, or preseason, I'm sorry. He's getting reps more and more, I think more so because Geno Smith is out with the injury, and they only had two quarterbacks on the roster until they brought in Josh Johnson. But he's making the right steps. They're not forcing him onto the field. He's going to be able to learn the game, get adapted to the pro level. And I think he could be a better pro than both Winston and Mariota. And the Jets got him in a value with a fourth-round pick.
Now we're going to go to the division rivals, the New England Patriots, who took Malcolm Brown with the last pick in the first round.
Now this was interesting because me and Mike were talking about this before we started recording. He noted Malcolm Brown, obviously, like we said, these defensive tackles got pushed back a little bit. Had Houston not signed Vince Wilfork, could have been a perfect fit for the Houston Texans. He winds up slipping 32nd overall in the first round with the last pick. He's coming out of Texas. He's a big dude. He could play three downs, and he's coming in and replacing Vince Wilfork, which is something huge that New England needed.
Yeah, whether he'll do it immediately or down the road, it definitely needs to get done because Wilfork was a huge part of that defense.
Right, and one of the things that we'll note about New England's draft, which surprised me to the point where it was almost a joke, was they lost a lot of guys in their secondary. Revis is gone. Who's the other corner that was there last year?
Brandon Browner
went to New Orleans. So you would think that they would find a way to target corner in the draft. They waited until the seventh round, to take a cornerback. And they take Darryl Roberts from Marshall, who I don't think is going to play right away. The note I'm reading is that he's a low-risk player with a high upside, which means he's going to need some work. They have the should-be Super Bowl MVP, Deion Butler, as their projected number one corner, and I don't think that he belongs on the field.
They had 11 picks in this draft, and they need wide receivers. They didn't go after him. They need corners. They didn't go after him. But the Patriots have always more focused on the offensive fronts and the defensive fronts in years past. And that's what they did again this year.
Real quick, I'm just going to roll off a bunch of names. And I want you to tell me to stop when a name catches your ear, okay? So, Malcolm Butler, Logan Ryan, Bradley Fletcher, Terrell Brown, Robert McLean, Darryl Roberts. Anything?
No.
Exactly. Those are the corners for New England. I don't think... So, I mean, just looking at... Bradley Fletcher was claimed by... was picked up in the offseason. He's coming from Philly, formerly from St. Louis. He wasn't shit. If he was any good, he would have picked up on one of the other teams, and he's listed as their third corner.
See, now the only guy that slightly stands out to me is Logan
Ryan.
Yeah, because he's been in their system for a couple years now, right?
Right, and I assume he would be the number one corner. Although, listen, Deion Butler had one play, and he got a truck from Tom Brady. But, I mean, can you really rely on that?
I mean,
if
I read something earlier today that he's improved by 200%, whatever it was saying. But, you know, before Super Bowl Sunday, nobody knew about this guy.
Exactly.
And I mean, he was on the team. Give credit where credit's
due. Listen, my problem with New England not taking the corner was if they had so much faith in Butler, then why wasn't he playing earlier in the season and not until the last game of the year? You know what I mean? So let's move on from New England. We're going to go to the Miami Dolphins, who took one of my favorite players in the draft with their first pick, Devontae Parker, the receiver out of Louisville. A lot of people are looking over him because of the guys like Amari Cooper and Kevin White who were selected above him. You know, they had such great combine numbers and great pro days. Devontae Parker kind of slid under the radar. Miami took him with their 14th pick. They wanted to add a young, elite capability receiver, and I think they get it with Parker, who they're going to pair up with
Jarvis Landry.
They have Jordan Cameron there now. They have Lamar Miller in the running game. And Tannehill is looking like he could be a nice quarterback.
Well, yeah, they took on, I believe, Bill Lazor, his offense, who comes over from Philly last year. And, you know, you can immediately see it in the offense last year. It was a faster pace, higher completion percentage for Ryan Tannehill. Look to see the same thing this year.
Right, and it's probably more tailored to the type of player that Tannehill is. And the higher completion percentage means guys are gonna have more receptions. They're gonna have more yardage. The offense, I think, looks good, and it's only gonna get better. The one thing we will note is that Devontae Parker had off-season foot surgery, but he should be making his debut week one of the regular season. Round two pick, once again, one of these defensive tackles, Jordan Phillips out of Oklahoma. Big dude, 6'5", 329. He's probably going to get to sit back and just watch Ndamukong Suh play for a little bit. But being in that room with Ndamukong Suh and watching the way he plays is only going to make him better. They don't have to rush him onto the field. And, you know, he'll probably get some goal line stuff, you know, some short yardage stuff, run stuffing type of player. He's an interesting pick. And then a guy we talked about last week was Jay Ajayi, who's a running back from Boise State. He had a little bit of a fallout. He slipped down to the fifth round because of knee issues. He's had some knee injuries over his years. And he comes to Miami. They spend the fifth rounder on him. they want him to be Lamar Miller's backup, and it doesn't look like it's panning out that way. Damian Williams has been primarily the backup, and I don't think Ajayi is getting any carries at all, really, in the preseason.
He had a little bit of work over the weekend, which was the most that he's gotten all preseason, probably due to, you know, trying to avoid injury with your starting players.
Right. And like I said, to have a team take you to be either the heir apparent when they let Lamar Miller walk or to be the backup to Lamar Miller, it says a lot about what they think of you as a player. And if he's not going to produce, is there a chance he doesn't make the roster?
Sure. If they're deep enough at running back, there is a chance. Especially if things just aren't clicking with Ajayi and the offense. You know, in a fast-paced offense like that, there's, you know, little room for error. You know, it's either pick up the pace and roll with it.
Right, and you have to note that they have that Miami has guys, aside from Lamar Miller and Jay Ajayi, they have Damian Williams, who, like we said, has been taking a majority of the roles as majority of the carries as the backup. They also have a guy like Michael James, who's a game-changer type of player with speed, formerly from Oregon. They don't have to keep Ajayi on the roster. You know, they could bring in other guys. It put up or shut up, really. That's how I see it. So now we're going to move to the final team. Am I right with that, Iron Mike? Final team?
Yeah, I don't think we missed anybody in the AFC.
Right, and maybe if we have a few minutes after this, we can talk about some other stuff. But we're going to the Buffalo Bills. And like we said earlier, Tyrod Taylor has been named a starter. Fred Jackson's gone. Right off the bat, we'll talk about round 5 pick, Carlos Williams out of Florida State. They really like this kid, obviously enough to cut Fred Jackson. They have LeSean McCoy there. They have Carlos Williams. They have Booby Dixon. They have Bryce Brown. I guess it was just a clogged backfield. I would assume that if LeSean McCoy went down, that Carlos Williams would be the guy to take over. He's a physical runner. He's a little bit more versatile than the other two guys. And I mean, they seem to like him there, so we'll see how that works. Buffalo didn't have a first-round pick. They used it as part of a trade last season to get
Sammy Watkins.
So with their first pick, which was in the second round, they take Ronald Darby, the cornerback from Florida State. He's a smaller guy, 5'11", 193. He has quick feet. He's a nag. He's going to hang around. He's going to hover around. He's going to give you problems. But can he really be a starter, an undersized cornerback?
He's most likely not going to be. They have a lot of depth in their secondary in Buffalo.
McKelvin's there. Stephon Gilmore's there.
Yeah, he's most likely there for the future.
Nickel corner packages early in his career. He's had at least one pick in the preseason. Why do I keep saying offseason? Because I'm an idiot.
You know, it goes back to one of those things where a new coach comes in. He may or may not like certain players that are already there. The office might want to try and save some money. So they go out, they draft a young guy, and then next year they cut somebody that could be, you know, looking for a big payday.
One of my favorite picks that Buffalo made was 6th round tight end out of Florida State. Again, Florida State had a lot of guys taken this year. 3 of them are on Buffalo. Tight end Nick O'Leary. Nick O'Leary is probably a little smaller than some of the tight ends that you're going to see in the league now, but he was used a lot of different ways in Florida State, and I could see Buffalo trying to use him similarly. They used Florida State used Nick O'Leary as an H-back type player, an off-the-line tight end, an on-the-line tight end. He could block, he could catch.
Yeah, but in the same hand, Charles Clay can do all that.
Right. And they brought in Charles Clay from Miami this season to replace Scott Chandler, who left for New England, but he could make some impact. And I guess if the Charles Clay project fails, he could be somebody that could see a little bit more time, maybe as maybe as like a second, third tight end, goal line packages, you know, jumbo packages, stuff like that. And I mean, I think that really does it for Buffalo. Is there anything that we want to talk about that we might have missed?
No, we covered every team in the AFC.
Right, we did. I was going to go back and talk about the Rams, but they're not in the AFC.
No, they're not.
Nobody wants to hear about the Rams.
Not anymore. Listen,
before we close the podcast out, I know we said reach out to us on Twitter, reach out to us on
Facebook.
I'm stroking out again. It's late. It's almost 5 o'clock. The first
thing you have to do, obviously, is subscribe.
Subscribe to the podcast, whether it be on Stitcher, iTunes, however you're getting it. Subscribe to it.
I use Podcast Addict.
Mike seems to like it.
I found it on there.
Popped right up.
Yep.
Make sure you're subscribing. Give us a good review. Let us know how you feel. I mean, and anything is good for us. We had a lot of positive feedback coming in, and we're taking everything you guys say into consideration. So if you're reaching out to us on the social media, don't be afraid to tell us you want to hear something, that we're doing something wrong. One of the biggest complaints I got was that I was saying too much, and I think I did a pretty good job. I think I did a pretty good job on improving that.
It was a lot better this week.
I'm still struggling with it, but we're listening to you guys, so... We also want to say thank you, not only to you guys for tuning in and listening to us. You made us front page on the news and noteworthy list on iTunes after one podcast. So help us out. Spread the word. Share our statuses. Share our posts. Tell your friends.
Tell your mom.
Yeah. My mom listens. We want people to hear what we have to say. We're opinionated guys and like I said, we appreciate you guys downloading and listening to us, or just downloading, whatever the case may be. And we want to thank Ignotainment for letting us do this one more time. They've been a great help for us, and the guys over there are doing a great job.
Yes, thank you.
All right, so I think that's going to do it for us.
You know what we're talking about next week?
Next week, we don't have anything on the schedule yet. Listen, send us some questions and stuff. We don't have a lot to talk about. There's not going to be much to talk about in week 4.
No, yeah.
Or the preseason.
Usually the preseason week 4 games are bland.
If you have any player questions, injury questions, depth chart questions,
reach out to us.
Right.
Via Facebook, Twitter.
If you want to know more about us, if you want to ask us questions, no one wants to. Yeah, you're right.
So just send us football
questions. Let's clean that up in post, huh? All right, so just send us some questions. If we have, you know, if we have time, which I'm sure we will because there won't be much to talk about, we want to talk to you guys. So send us some questions on Facebook, on Twitter, and we'll make sure we'll try to get to all of them. And thanks again. This has been the You're on the Clock podcast. For Iron Mike, I'm Matt Geiger. Thanks for tuning in.
Peace. Are you an MMA fan? Do you want real insider information from one of combat sports' most legendary figures? Check out Let's Get It On with Big John McCarthy and Sean Wheelock now at letsgetitonpodcast.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio. You're on the Clock with Matt Geiger, only on Ignotainment Media Network. Download the show and link to our social media accounts at ontheclockpodcast.com. Plus, be sure to check out the entire Ignotainment podcast lineup, including Let's Get It On with Big John McCarthy and Sean Wheelock, Youth Baseball Talk, Ocho Man, Behind the 8 Ball, and more at Ignotainment.com.